A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A Netflix original documentary, a man with a bushy gray beard sits beside radio equipment.
And I'll start it up.
He turns knobs on an equipment stack taller than he is.
And we'll start generating.
He dials knobs on an oscillator. Audio waves pulse on a digital readout. He listens with eyes closed. They open. On a black background, yellow and red dots glow. They converge, forming a title. John was trying to contact aliens. In archival footage, a man with a clipboard and the bearded man, now in his 20s, sit beside radio equipment.
John has a very special mission in life. He is trying to contact aliens.
Black and white photos show a chemistry set and household rooms filled with old radio equipment.
Well, started by myself. My grandfather helped me. I lived with my grandparents in a small cottage in northern Michigan.
Wildflowers beside a small home.
I started building the electronic equipment to make contact with whatever might be out there beyond the earth.
A washed out photo of John as a young man beside equipment.
It grew to encompass an entire bedroom. That equipment continued to grow. In the next 2 years, it was migrating into the living room. It became more and more massive.
Black and white photos. In a living room, John's grandparents relax in armchairs. He sits at a console which spans an entire wall. In another photo, he looks through a telescope. Archival footage shows John wearing a visor. He opens a radio machine's panel and adjusts circuits. He dons headphones and looks at a digital readout. John adjusts a knob and the dancing lines become a figure eight.
Most everything I did was self-taught. I envisioned an idea and completed that vision, built it into a physical reality. So I was always seeking to explore, to look beyond what we have here. I pictured many alien worlds, imagining what it would be like to make contact, a moment of sharing extreme knowledge and thoughts and communication with another species is just beyond anything most of us even imagine.
In a film, aliens welcome a dazed man aboard a dazzling spaceship. In a snowy field, John maneuvers a receiver on a tripod.
You seem to be picking up a radio signal.
He adjusts the speaker and swivels the receiver with an attached handle. John peers into the sky. A black and white photo of John in his 20s in a similar pose with a similar device.
I decided that the best way to try and make contact was to broadcast a signal into outer space. I thought the best signaling would be music. Technically, we were achieving the actual transmissions from a large tower out front of my grandparents' home.
In archival footage, John leans against a two-story radio tower. A dish spins on top. John sits in a room full of cassettes and records.
I set music into space because it represents a certain universal language. And I'm talking about non-commercial music as such. I'm talking about jazz, electronic music, Kraftwerk, Tangerine Dream, Harmonia, and there were many others. African music, Eastern music, which I covered a broad area, reggae, Afrobeat. And one of the things I really liked to send out was gamelan music. It was a really beautiful form.
John Shepherd has devoted all his time, money, and energies to a personal search for outer space aliens.
I send cultural or creative music out into space. I beam it out for approximately half a million miles out in space, about twice the distance of the moon. This is Project Strat, Earth Station 1, broadcasting to you from beautiful northwestern Michigan. You're listening to the group Harmonia.
In the studio, an open reel tape deck spins. John turns knobs on a soundboard. He stares entranced. A view from space soars across Earth's blue surface. understanding, John leans toward the mic.
This is Project Stratter, Station 1, signing off from another broadcast day. If you ETs are out there, we'd like you to tune in again tomorrow night at 9 p.m. for more cultural music. This is John Shepherd.
Images of stars and galaxies. In a black and white photo, John, as a toddler, stands bundled up in a snowy field.
I don't remember much about my mom. Things were rough in the early years. It wasn't the best home environment to raise me in. My dad left while I was just born. My grandma felt sorry for me and took me with her. I have very little contact with my mother. She was always a little different than I was. Almost not alien, that's not the right word, really. I just different.
A skinny adolescent John stands beneath billowing sheets on a clothesline.
The fondest memories were after my grandparents adopted me, took care of me, raised me.
John, as a child, stands in a lake's shallows. An icy plane stretches into the horizon. John sits on a railing at the edge of the plane, staring into the clear blue sky.
Sometimes taking the course that I have in my life and the path is like maybe a lonely mountain road to some higher elevation peaks to see the view, to check out something most people don't see. So you tend to go it alone more. You don't have much company in this.
A dirt road cuts through the woods. Trees obscure John's home.
I set up this whole operation inside of a small cottage in the middle of kind of sparsely populated area. Small town, you know, rural. My lifestyle relative to the local lifestyle is quite removed, quite different.
At a small town home, a dog stands behind a chain link fence.
My mind was in space and in other realms where my body was in this local community, this little bit of rural, quiet, peaceful area. But my mind was traveling the cosmos.
On a dark night, infrared footage zooms in on the sallow moon, glowing far off in the distant and cloudy sky. John's head is turned upward. Long hair frames his soft face. His eyes search the heavens. Now a flashlight combs tree branches. In a photo, John as a child stands arm in arm with his grandmother by a river.
I'm probably 12, 14 years old. I realized that I was a little different, that I was gay. Growing up gay in Michigan was rather difficult. That's one of the tougher realities, and especially in a rural area. You don't get as much, understanding. You don't get as much of that.
John, in his 20s, sits for an interview.
I think the real tough part to deal with sometimes is loneliness. You don't go right out and, so to speak, date somebody for very long that they don't find out you're a little different. To find someone that is on the wavelength that I am on and be able to share my life with that person in any degree or way is nearly impossible, although I believe it exists. I believe for everybody there's someone.
John, in his 20s, looks through binoculars, a series of photos. John stands in a dumpster gathering electrical equipment. A pile of junk fills the trunk of his car. All manner of wires, circuits, and consoles fill his attic.
As time went on, the equipment got consuming most of the house. It became obvious that we needed more room. My grandmother and I got together and pooled our funds to build an addition.
Beside the house, construction workers build a large structure.
It had plenty of room to expand. The project could be fully realized.
A metal door on rails rolls aside. John enters. Sonic waves flit on a monitor. Bolts of electricity zap between conduits. Chrome electrical conductors span two stories.
John Shepherd calls his project STRAT. That's an acronym for Special Telemetry Research and Tracking.
An old computer maps wireframe galaxies.
There are 60,000 volts running through his basement, powering a signal that's beamed straight out into space.
A radio tower extends upward.
So I built this two-story high deep space transmitter, basically a tuned circuit resonator. It allowed me to reach deeper and further out into space. Project Strat had become a major operation. I was busy developing other kinds of devices for communication.
John fiddles with half-built machines.
I never gave up trying to make contact. And the excitement for me was always there, always the anticipation that something might happen.
We're now going to bring you some Afropop to warm up your evening.
Seen through a window, John bobs his head before the soundboard.
It was always an exploration. It was always a sort of a dream state. So I kept going. I kept doing that throughout, 25, 30 years of my life.
A comet shoots across the sky.
Can't say I found a lot of hard data that would be of great significance necessarily on the UFO front. But as far as inspiration, creative ideas, it gave me the chance to do all of that and to share the results with people, with others. And it filled my life. It gave it something, meaning.
Using a flashlight, John searches a warehouse.
What remains of Project Strat is what's stored in this building. A lot of the equipment is disassembled for storage, but it's still here in its spirit, you might say. And this was one of the data mapping consoles.
He dusts off a circular monitor.
There were endless components, all kinds of unique things. Satellite communication equipment, high-power microwave tubes that used to transmit microwaves. So there's lots and lots of stuff that was all parts of the lab, including the high-voltage transmitter accelerator that we used for sending signals into space. So these are just the remnants, leftover pieces of thought.
A jet leaves contrails across the evening sky, past the early moon.
Well, having had to give up due to lack of funds was deeply frustrating, almost depressing, but also realizing that maybe it was time to move on. I never really had any serious boyfriends or anyone that I went steady with, that sort of thing, but in 1993, I met somebody I really love very much named John LaTrenta.
They share the couch.
We were both at a club one evening. That's where we met. Well, when he first walked in the door of the club, I was still there. I was quite taken by his appearance, his look, the fact that he was different. There was an attraction almost immediately to the way he looked.
LaTrenta wears a bushy beard.
When I first met John, I had this impression that this fellow's really kind of different. He gives me an interesting impression. I think I want to meet this guy. It just came over me to go ahead and get up the courage to go over and say hello and introduce myself at least. And after that, it just seemed like we were off and running a bit, I'd say. We started discussing music and some of the more obscure things we loved about music. John's character is really warm. What I really like about him is that warmth and that understanding that he has. Once I met him and realized that he was that sort of person, warm, loving, sensitive, patient, I was like, wow, that's really something. You don't find that every day. And that's what everyone, I think, in this world to some degree seeks, and doesn't always find it. I was one of the lucky ones. I feel I found it. Found it in John. So contact has been made.
John smiles warmly. In a black and white photo, the couple kisses deeply. They wear top hats and dress clothes. A half dozen guests look on. In a snowy field, John lies on his back, resting his head on his hands. The view ascends, leading John down below. It fades into aerial views of icy plains. Views from space capture boundless snowy vistas stretching beneath the blue glow of Earth's atmosphere. On a burning star, a solar storm's violet strands whip about. Now, the turquoise cosmos, dotted with gleaming stars, stretches limitlessly. Credits, directed, filmed, and edited by Matthew Killip.
My interest is in finding out the unknown, and the unknown is just that, unknown. And you search, and you continue searching because of your desire, because of that, you know there's something there.
Audio description by Extracts. Written by Wadjet LLC. Voiced by Ellie Schiff. Title design, Robert Beatty. Sound design and mix, Chu Lee Shrewing. Drone and infrared photography, Mark Iden. Colorist and online editor, Keith Jensen. More credits follow. In a photo, John in his 20s sits with his grandmother, in loving memory of Irene Lamb, 1905 to 1988. Trademark and copyright 2020. Visual Message LLC. All rights reserved. Logos. Visual Message.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.